Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. The political leadership in America, doesn't matter which side, has an agenda. The Democrats are pushing homosexuality, abortion, transgenderism, open borders, and woke prosecutors like it's going out of style. What we're watching unfold is a spiritual battle that has existed since Adam and Eve chose to sin. Donald Trump is a threat to the Kabbalistic Jews who seek to weaken the United States and merge it into a world federation. Satan is now mustering every force to ensure that Trump is not reelected, and this is the crux behind the felony convictions leveled at him. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
It is with fear and trembling that I'm going to share this message with you today that God laid upon my heart this week. Actually, I got it Friday afternoon after the conviction of President Trump. God began to move upon me that we need to really pay attention. And I've been thinking, praying, and thinking about this. You do have an NIP bulletin. I'm going to work from that to begin with today. And so let's just open up in prayer right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that I have the strength, that I am healthy, that I can be back in the pulpit here today. And I just ask you right now, Lord, to clear my thoughts. Let me to hear the Holy Spirit properly, so that, Father God, I would speak for you and not for myself. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you want to get ready, turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. That's the book of Daniel, chapter 10. And I want to lay the foundation for you here this morning. Most Christians don't think about the spirit world. And Satan is out there someplace, and they don't pay too much attention to that. I would say that the majority of Christians in America do not even think about evil spirits or demons. And the reason for that is that that is a teaching that you have in most main churches. And I remember when I came to rededicate my life to Christ, and I was reading in the Gospels about Jesus casting out demons. And I remember asking the pastor, I said, what are demons? Well, there's some kind of spiritual entities. We don't know what they are. I said, why did Jesus cast them out? Well, we don't really know that, but we know he did. Are there demons today? No, they were just there when Jesus was here. We don't have any demons today. So, most people do not understand that before anything happened in the physical world, it is happening first in the spirit world. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, and we're going to pick it up here in verse number 11. And the story is this, that Daniel had been praying. He was in captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah had prophesied, God had spoke to him, they're going to be there for 70 years, and then they will be allowed to return back to Jerusalem. 70 years were just about up, and Daniel was praying and simply saying, you know, when are we going to be able to go back again to Jerusalem? So he prayed. And he actually did not hear anything from the Lord. So then we have in Daniel chapter 10 here, actually, I want to pick it up in verse number 7 to get good continuity here. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my countenance was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. He lost his power. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. The angel was speaking to him now. And the angel said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto you I am not sent. And when he had spoken his word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. Let's look at verse number 12. The angel is now telling Daniel, the day you started to pray, it was heard in heaven. I was given order to go down and talk to you. And so your prayers were heard the first day. But then he said in verse number 13, But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which stood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Who is this prince of the kingdom of Persia? It's a fallen angel. They are known as archons. And Satan has placed fallen angels, archons, over every nation in this world. And their job is to resist what God is doing, put destruction on the people, and to advance the kingdom of Satan. I want now to emphasize how strong is an archon. This archon was strong enough that when the angel for the Lord, we believe was Gabriel, came to talk to Daniel, that archon simply put up a resistance. And however they fight in the spirit world, we don't know. But God's angel, a holy angel, were not able to break through. He didn't have enough resources. For 21 days, he was in the air trying to break through to go down to Daniel, and he couldn't. He then summoned Michael, the archangel in heaven. He's a chief commander. He's the one that led the armed forces in heaven to defeat Lucifer. And Michael had to come down with additional forces. And finally, when he came with his forces, they broke through. And the angel came to Daniel to speak to him. You don't hear too much about this in the churches. And you think, oh, this sounds like a fairy tale. But I'm going to tell you, the spirit world is more real than this world. And the spirit world rules this physical world. And then he said this, now I'm come to make you understand what shall befall your people in latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Satan did not want Daniel to know what was going on. He told the archon over Persia, block him, wipe him out, cancel him. So reinforcement came from heaven, and he broke through. In the same chapter now, we want to read the following things. And that's, I'm going to go now to verse number 20. Then said he, the angel, know you wherefore I come unto you, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece, Grecia, shall come. So now the angel had to fight going back to heaven, and then he was going to do something with Greece, and there was an archon over Greece, and he had to fight him. So these archons, fallen angels, are in the atmosphere on the earth. Under their command are evil spirits. They are on the ground. And the evil spirits are the ones that are afflicting people. So what is happening now in the United States? What has changed? There's been a change in America for the last 100 years. We had the last revivals under D.L. Moody. Then we had Billy Sunday in the first 20 years of the 1900s. And then we had a tremendous move of God in the 50s, where we had the baptism of the Holy Spirit came on board. We got the charismatic movement. We got the Jesus movement. We had full gospel businessmen. We had Billy Graham. And we had a number of other organizations. And there was a great move of God that lasted until about 1970-80. Things changed at the time of 1970 to 1980. I remember in the early 70s, it was easy to preach the gospel. I would be on radio, and I would announce that we're going to have a Bible study. Had them in Grass Valley, in Auburn, different places. And I had no problems of getting 30, 40, 50 people to come to a Bible study. And we had them week after week, people getting saved, healed, we casting demons out. And it was a great move. And then suddenly, there was a resistance. And I could feel that the power of the Holy Spirit had diminished. And I could feel that the power of evil spirits had increased. So now, what is the goal? What is the goal of Satan? Look in the outline here, on the NIP outline, and I wrote this. Without customers, there would be no drug dealers. We talk about fentanyl. They want to kill off the cartels and arrest them and so on. But I want you to think now. There are Americans, men, women, young people that want fentanyl. It's a powerful drug. They have more kick out of that than cocaine. They know they might die. but they simply crave it. Why? Because they have been demonized. If there were no people using drugs, there would be no drug smuggling. The customer base drives evil. Let me say that again. The customer base drives evil. Drug dealers are not driving this. It is done by customers. And how do we get customers? Demons, evil spirits, will entice young people, older people, to take these drugs. But we have right now in this ministry, I got two brothers, and there is a third brother. And God showed me this example during the night as I was awake, listening to the Holy Spirit. These three men came out for the same family. It was a Christian family. They were all going to Sunday school as children. All of them gave their life to Christ and simply walked with Christ as young people. But as they begin to get into adulthood, now we had alcohol and drugs. Three of them there got into some kind of difficulties. One of them pulled out, and simply God spared that one brother, and he stayed clean from drugs. He built a successful business and had a successful Christian life. The other two brothers got deeper and deeper into drugs, and they simply wasted their lives, money, everything else. Got to have that drug. Got to have that fix. Year 2000, brother number one got brother number two to church. And we prayed, and we had deliverance of this brother number two, and he was set free from demons and was now free from drugs. In a few years, he became a successful contractor, and he built his family life. The third brother is wasted. He simply doesn't care. He lost his family, lost everything. He lives for drugs. What caused that? What would take three boys coming from a Christian home and then suddenly flip and go sideways? Two of them come back, one is not. Evil spirits. When this happened, this took place in the 1960s and 70s. There were no social media. But today we have a social media. And we have what you call influencers. I call them demon distributors. And they have followings that go on TikTok, on Facebook, and whatever social media they're on. And they are now supposed experts. They know nothing. And they are experts. And they have followers, 10,000, 50,000. And these followers will do whatever this guru or influencer says. For years we had these, what do you call it, stars, movie stars, singers, artists, that simply influence people tremendously. So what I'm telling you now is this. Evil spirits are real, and they do take control of people. We're talking about what they call human trafficking. They're little boys, little girls that are brought up from Mexico, from other countries, brought in here, and to be abused by adults. Why would that happen? It's a customer-driven base. You have prostitution. Do you understand that without customers, there will be no prostitutes? Without customers, there will be no pornography. Without customers, there will be no bars, gambling, casinos, and whorehouses. If you look around now, you will see that a lot of younger people, 40 years and down, are involved in different vices, one vice or the other, and they have been drawn away from Christ, and they are simply becoming demonic maniacs. And we see a lot of murders lately, bizarre things, where people do things that is unbelievable. I want to take you now to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. The book of Revelation, chapter 13. And this is a story that Jesus gave to the Apostle John, where Jesus said that someday in the future, there will be a world government, a world federation. There will be a world dictator. He will be empowered by Satan, and he will have a total rule, control. Let's read these verses here from Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horn ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And so one of his heads, as he were wounded to death, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worshipped this dictator, who was given power by the devil. And they worshipped him, saying, who is like unto this beast or man, who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months, or 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him of all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life out of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. There's going to be a world federation. For years, we had the League of Nations after World War I, and that didn't work out. After World War II, we had the United Nations, and that organization is not working out because five nations have veto power, and they are not supreme. But there is an organization coming that you and I have not seen, that most pastors and Christians simply says, oh, that's just Book of Revelation, it's not true. But it is coming. But in order for that federation to come into being, there can be no independent nations. Let me lay this on you now. You understand this. There is no country in the world, none, except the United States, that has a constitution like we have. England doesn't have it. France doesn't have it. They change the constitution constantly. We have a constitution that lasted since 1700, at the end of this, at the beginning of the 18th century. Close to 300 years had lasted. And what does that constitution say? All men are created equal. We have rights. We have freedom. We have protection against a tyrannical government. No other government, no other nation has that. And Satan hates America. Let me emphasize that. The devil hates America and its churches because God gave us a divine constitution that no other nation ever had and never will have. In order now to destroy America, the Constitution got to be destroyed. And to destroy the Constitution, you got to destroy the population. You got to get them involved in drugs, alcohol, sexual perversion, all kind of things, to weaken them, to get them away from the churches, so they are not born again. It's a war on the American people. Have you understood that? Few people have understood that. Joe Biden is not a powerful man. He's demon-possessed. He is simply moved by an archon over the United States. And he and his team are doing what Satan wants them to do. Let me ask you this question. If you own property, let's say you have a ranch, and you own that ranch, and you have set boundaries and said that this is my property. Now suddenly, squatters are coming, and you have simply said, well, that's nice, those squatters. So you have squatters come in and take control of this piece of land or this piece of land. And suddenly you realize, I don't control my ranch anymore. I got all these people here. They sell it down. They're taking control. And I lost the ranch. So we had the United States. We had borders. Everybody understands that you have to be a citizen to live here. You can't possibly come here if you immigrate legally and stay in this country. But now, the leader of the nation says, I'm going to open up the borders and let whoever wants to come in, come in. That is self-destruction. It is spiritual suicide. And no one seems to understand that. You have a man by the name of George Soros, who is a Kabbalistic Jew and one of the richest men in the world. I mean, let's say that you can splash $20 or $30. He can splash $20-30 million and he does not even miss it. And he has simply taken his money and he has spent it in every state in the United States and got, what you call it, woke prosecutors, where they now say, we're not going to put people in prison anymore. We're not going to charge them. And they let murders go loose and so on. And you see the mayhem in the stores and the thing, how they steal. Why? Why would anyone be so stupid? There's a demon possession. And we are now self-destructing. Notice this, we had riots, the Black Lives Matters, we had the summer of, I think, 22, 23, up in Seattle and Portland, and we had a lot of riots. When George Floyd was killed, there were riots burning things down. Did you notice this, that when Donald Trump was convicted in the kangaroo court, there were no riots. There was no one on the streets burning buildings, shooting up people, and doing destruction. Why? Because the people that are supporting Donald Trump are many are Christians, many are patriots, and they believe in a rule of law. But now, we're going to have to fight back. We cannot fight this with guns. We cannot fight this with soldiers. We have to fight this in the spirit world. That's how we're going to fight this. And this is what I'm trying to rally you today, get a few people here today rallied up to understand that we can fight the devil, the archons, and the demons in the spirit world, because our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God. Let me take you now to Ephesians chapter 6. That's Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Most people have read this. They know this, but they don't apply this. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let me repeat that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we are fighting. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places. Archons, demonic forces, evil to the max. Remember this, a demon has so much power that you cannot resist it in the flesh. They have supernatural power. How do we apply this? Well, I told you about the three brothers. So brother number two came to the church. Year 2000. The Holy Spirit had convicted him that he needed to repent. And that's very important. Without the Holy Spirit conviction, no one is going to repent. And we set out to cast the demons out. Did we get the demons out? We broke the power of the demons. We got most of them out. And the man there was no longer bound to drugs. I have done probably thousands of deliverances. Men and women had different problems, from alcohol, marriage problems, pornography, whatever. And it's very successful when people are convicted of their sins. They come in, and we have the power. Understand that. We have the power. I will stand here and say this, and I've done it before. People come in, and they say, can this be done? The demons are very strong. I'm addicted to this and that. I said, no. There's not a demon that I have met that I did not kick out. I have been mastering them. How? The power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have the power, but in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I've released the power of the Holy Ghost, and demons fly. But to cast out demons, you got to be clean yourself. You got to believe what you're doing. You got to have faith in Jesus. You cannot just be simply saying, well, I'll try that. You got to be walking with the Lord. And then it says in verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. With other words, let's put on the armor. Every morning, I pray this prayer. I get it for 24 hours. I ask God, put on the armor on me today. Protect me from the devil, fallen angels, and other demons. Stand there for having your loins girded about with truth. You can't be a liar. Having on a breastplate of righteousness. That's the righteousness of Christ. Your feet shall be the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got to be willing to testify and witness any time you can. Above all, take the shield of faith, for you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith, you put it up, and simply you block all the arrows of the enemy. And you take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the armor of God. It works. Let me take you now to 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Every morning, I say this, in the name of Jesus, I pull down every stronghold that the enemy might be putting up today against me. I obliterate them. I command it to be destroyed. Every demon that put them up should be hunted down, taken to prison, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is what we got to do. And we can do it if we want to. The problem is that even if you're saved, you might have had deliverance. You might be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Evil spirits will come in and massage you. Try to get you upset. Try to get you envious. Try to get you angry. Try to trip you up. And you got to remember this. Demons will be there all the time. Your car will break down. This will happen. Bad phone call, bounce checks, all kind of different things. And they just simply grin and says, now get excited. And that's when you simply say, no. I don't care what the circumstances are. I'm going to be praising God And this is a statement I had years ago. There's no crisis in heaven. God is still on the throne. And he has a solution to every problem that you and I face. That's how I've been living for the last 40 years or so. So we got to take our weapons now and begin to fight. Now, when the case now becomes to Trump, he was convicted. He's called a felon. What was his crime, if it was a crime? Falsifying records, business records. Falsifying business records. The media and everybody else to play it up like he was a murderer. He had choked somebody. He's a child molester, whatever it is. It's a bookkeeping issue. And he's now convicted for having a bookkeeping error. Here's the thing we understand now. The judge you had in that trial and the prosecutor you had in that trial are independent. They are not controlled. A judge has the right. He can make bad decisions, and they will stand until they are appealed and thrown out. But until an appeal, that judge is untouchable. The same for the prosecutor. We got these points here now that I laid out here. And they actually from Rick Wilds, who has a ministry by himself. And this is what a scenario laid out. And I've read this and I realize this is a possibility. Trump got sentenced on July 10th. The Republican convention is on July 15th. The judge will show no mercy and place him in jail. Now, you heard people say, well, you know, he's a first-time offender. It was not a violent crime and so on. They usually don't do that. This judge can do whatever he wants to. And the police will enforce his ruling. I remember Trump saying this Friday, this judge Marchand, he looks like an angel, very nice. But he said he's a devil. And he really is, because this man is after one thing, to destroy the possibility of Trump getting elected as a president. Why? Because all the evil work that has been done will be reversed. Trump's appeal, if that happens, the Supreme Court cannot step in because they have to have appeal. It takes time. So this judge can do what he wants to do, and he knows it. There will probably be some sort of battle over Secret Service protection. And I already heard yesterday that the Democrats in the Senate are simply trying to get some kind of legislation that if Trump is going to prison, they would take away his Secret Service protection. Also consider, even if he walks, even if he's not arrested or put in prison, he'll be assigned a parole officer that has to monitor his every move. Now, I work with a lot of people that come out of a jail and having done served time and so on, they come out, and they are having a parole officer. That parole officer is God. Understand that? That parole officer is God. And that prisoner or the person that is coming out on parole, he has to report all the time to the parole officer. And if the parole officer says, I don't like this, he can throw him back in the clink. Imagine now a woke parole officer simply controlling Trump and saying, well, you can do this, but you cannot do that, and you can say this and this and that. He will be hamstrung. Will the Republicans put forward a candidate in person? Well, right now, it seems like they're all together. But you got to remember, a lot of Republican lawmakers are Freemasons. They are Satanists in secret. There is a well laid out and thought out plan to derail Trump. They have certainly overplayed their hands and will continue to do so. The convention can elect anybody. They do not have to abide by the primary outcome. It is up to the party delegates to put forward candidates. We got a problem now with independent voters and Democratic voters because they are demon-possessed. Most people are demon-possessed today. And they are very finicky. Then we got the suburban women. That's a bunch of women that are actually uncontrollable. They yield power. Many have been divorced, remarried, do all kind of different things. They're militant. They don't think rationally. And it's easy for demons to simply swing them around. So what do we have now? We simply have a situation that this candidate Trump is not convicted for a bookkeeping error. But they call it a felony. And they treat him like he was a mass murderer. Would you like to have Joe Biden back in the White House for another 4 years and do more damage to the country? What it comes down to is this. They're preparing this country for the Antichrist system. Are we going to stand up? Are we going to simply say this? In the name of Jesus, I'm going to resist evil. Donald Trump is not perfect. I believe he has accepted Christ, but there are so many Christians that have accepted Christ that are never grown. And so I don't know where he's at in that situation. But I do know this, that the group that he has working with him wants to reverse the destruction of the United States. That's what I do know. God can give us a grace period. But let me tell you this. If Biden or another yo-yo from the Democratic Party is elected president for the next 4 years, the destruction of the United States would continue. The Constitution will be worked on more and more and slowly destroyed. And eventually, we will become a province in the World Federation. Remember this. One of the first things that Trump did when he became president last time, he got us out of the Paris Accord. Most Americans don't even know what a Paris Accord is about. And they says, what is it? Is it something you can eat with a spoon or whatever? The Paris Agreement is that the United States will have to relinquish its coal industry, its oil industry, and we have to go to clean energy, while India, China, and other nations are given a pass because they are still developing, and they can use everything they want, while we here have to cut back. We cannot have nuclear plants anymore. We cannot have coal plants, oil plants. We got to curtail our lifestyle. That's what Trump simply said. That's garbage. He simply struck with a pen, took us out of the Paris Accord. And guess what? Joe put us back in it. I laid out a case here today. Some of you might say, well, I'm too political. But this is how I think. If you have children, and you're going to send them to public schools, you don't want to send them to teachers that are homosexuals, queers, crazy, that would warp your children. You want to have Christians running Christian school teachers. To do that, you got to get involved in school board elections, in state elections, and you got to elect godly people that will simply uphold what you feel is the Bible. It's insanity what the Christians have done for the last 100 years. We gave the educational system up to the ungodly, and we hid in our churches. And then we complain, why did our children get destroyed? Well, stupid, you gave them to the world. This is where we're at now. We can now simply say this. It's late. We can do something and reverse it. I'm going to have a final scripture here today. That's the book of Acts. And we're going to turn to chapter 12. The book of Acts, chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 and 5. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He was a heathen king. He didn't like Christians. He arrested James. And he simply said, cut his head off. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. It was around Easter time. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivering the four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intended after Easter to bring him forth to the people. King Hildana, he simply said this. Well, I got rid of one apostle. And here goes the second one. Let's kill the ringleaders. And he got him arrested. He said to the prison, chain to soldiers. If he moves, he moves that chain. And they wake up. And Herod thought, it's going to be a nice day after the Passover is over. We're going to have a party. I'm going to bring Peter out. I'm going to show all the people this. And then we're going to have him lay his head down. We're going to cut it off and the people can rejoice. A day of celebration. Now, what could a church do? They could not militarily spring him out. They didn't have the resources. They could do nothing in the flesh, but they could do one thing. They could go into the spirit world and fight. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The church now simply said, this is serious. We lost James. We don't want to lose Peter. We're going to pray. We motivated. They had all-night prayer meeting. And they bombarded heaven. What did God do? He sent an angel down. Peter got sprung out of the prison. Gate opened by itself. Shackles fell off. And supernaturally, he was delivered. Did you catch that? Do you understand that? That was supernatural. That can still happen today. Now, when we begin to pray, angels will begin to move. The Holy Spirit will begin to move. And things will take place that the ungodly people did not plan for. But God can simply uproot everything and toss it around. Amen. But it's going to take you and me. It's going to take you and me to pray. The question is, do we have faith? Do you have faith that God will hear your prayers? If you don't have that, do like the man did. When Jesus said, you want to be, he said this to Jesus, help my unbelief. Let's start beginning believing that God will do something. So the way I'm going to close here today is this. That we're going to, I'm going to ask you during the week now. We have a lot of people are part of NIP and some of you are not. But I'm going to ask you where you live here in the United States. That you simply say today, I'm going to spend at least 15 minutes every day this week and on to pray for a reversal of the evil taking place. I'm going to pray that they cannot hold down Donald Trump. I'm going to pray that the suburban women and all the other people will simply be lined up and understand we need to save our country. And they will vote right. And I can tell you this, something will happen. In 1980, as a pastor, I went down to Dallas, Texas. There was a conference there that were organized by James Robinson. We were 5,000 pastors and leaders. And we have been assembled for one reason, to pray in Ronald Reagan and to get the Democrats out of the White House. We were fired up. Ronald Reagan came down and spoke to us. And he simply said, you know, I know that you cannot endorse me right now, but I endorse you. And we believed he was not a perfect man, but he was sure better than Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter was a Democrat. I came back to this town, Sacramento. I got on the radio. We made voting packs. I don't know how many thousands of things we sent out to talk to people. And Reagan won with a landslide. And we got 8 years under him that bought us time, changed things around in this country. We can do the same thing now. I believe I can get 40, 50 people to pray on a daily basis. To pray for the incapacitation of the Oracle over America. That's what we need to pray for. To incapacitate him daily. That God will simply paralyze him. His entire chain of command. And then pray for the Holy Spirit to be cut loose. Things can change. So with that, I'm going to simply open up the microphone here, and we're going to close in prayer. And I'm going to ask those of you that would like to publicly come and simply pray a simple prayer that God will intervene, that the democratic machine will be destroyed, and that our country will be saved. You are welcome. So anyone here in the congregation right now, if you want to come up right now and pray.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was titled, The Prosecution of Trump. The political leadership in America, doesn't matter which side, has an agenda. The Biden administration is pushing homosexuality, abortion, transgenderism, open borders, and woke prosecutors like it's going out of style. What we're watching unfold is a spiritual battle that has existed since Adam and Eve chose to sin. Donald Trump is a threat to the Kabbalistic Jews who seek to weaken the United States and merge it into a world federation. Satan is now mustering every force to ensure that Trump is not reelected, and this is the crux behind the felony convictions leveled at him. The next presidential election won't be won at the ballot boxes, but by Christians on their knees, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to pray like the early church when Peter was arrested, and they held an all-night prayer meeting because he was going to be executed unless God intervened. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1965. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.